And I'm excited to talk to some of the teachers who really make up the Bridgeport School District here. And there's been such a focus on education, certainly at the state level. But we've certainly been focusing on Bridgeport's whole school story for really the last few years, especially. But in the last year, there's been a lot happening. So I want to hear from the teachers. And in a little bit, we're also going to hear from the Bridgeport Education Association, the president, the union president. Joining me now, though, is Mia Dimbo, who is a middle school teacher here in the district. And Mia, it's a big day today.
Yes, my eighth graders are graduating.
Are you sad? Do you ever get like sad watching every graduating class? Or do you feel like, hey, I did that. I got these guys through and I get to start all over again next year.
It's sad for a lot of them, and it's sad for us too, because we, you know, Bridgeport has some really great students and they just don't get enough accountability and they just don't get enough love. So that's the biggest drawback for me, is that they really don't highlight our children in the modest ways in which they should.
How long have you been working in Bridgeport?
29, but I've been in a district for 30.
Wow.
And I started subbing in 1995.
And you never left?
I never left.
Wow. Why is that? And I don't ask that in a mean way. I ask it because I feel like there's something really special. Not that there's nothing special about the average educator, but when you're working in Bridgeport, there's just something very special. And people who are in it for the long haul, there's a reason for that.
And you're the second person that has asked me that. When I had to testify up at the state, they asked the same question. This was about, I don't know, 8-9 years ago. You know, I'm pretty sure you could get another job somewhere, you know, where in which things are a little bit different and probably better in terms of funding and in terms of
conditions,
getting your children what you want in the buildings. I said, because, you know, it's a love story in Bridgeport. And I think the teachers, obviously everyone knows, it's not about the money. It's about just being able to give back. And I said, you know, all students deserve a great education, no matter what your zip code is. So I'm very strong on, you know, on just staying and staying a course. And I'm a minority student. Most of the students I teach are minorities. And I said, you know, I had a great upbringing in school. I'm from Stanford. And, you know, and so it was great for me. And so I just want our students to hopefully feel that it was great for them as well. So that's why I stay. It's a struggle, but we stay. We have really great teachers in Bridgeport. And everyone should be, you know, notable, and everyone should know that just because scores don't make up students and they don't make up, you know, teachers as well, because they work very hard in Bridgeport.
And I know we're going to talk to Jeff, kind of, you know, Morrissey in a few minutes. Is certainly kind of diving into some of the details of what we've seen in just the last year and a half. But how have, you know, you been doing? How are your colleagues doing? It's been, I mean, our WICC listeners are up to date. They know what's happening. We've kept them in the loop. In fact, I mean, we've talked about it, obviously, with the former superintendent, the current interim. I love the, I mean, so we've... The list goes on. The $30 million. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot happening, you know, certainly statewide. But like I said, in Bridgeport, there's a huge focus. How are you and your colleagues doing with all of it?
You know, again, our teachers are just very resourceful. And, you know, mental health, we just try to keep each other, you know, in tune, and just, you know, always let them know that, you know, you always have someone out there to talk to, and mental health does matter. So despite what's going on in Bridgeport, despite their woes, financial and, you know, not enough money, not enough spending on our students and not enough anything, but teachers are still resilient and they come to work every day, and we just try to pump each other up, you know, hey, we're going to do this. It's going to be okay.
Why do you love teaching just in general? You can see that this is, you know, your calling.
It's just always been a passion for me, because growing up in Stanford and in the midst of the 60s, when, you know, they had to tear down certain schools. So therefore, and I was bused to an all, you know, Caucasian school. So, you know, school was very important to me, and I understood the struggles, and I understood what it was to get an education when you're not from, you know, some ritzy town, you're not, you know, your parents don't have money, or you were raised by your grandmother and all this other stuff. And so, as I always try to tell my students, it doesn't make a difference. You know, as long as this is your passion, you can do it as well, no matter what the circumstances are. So that's my passion for teaching each and every day. These kids deserve the best, and we're out there, and we should do as much as we can for them.
Mia, I feel like we should give a shout out to your eighth graders. I feel like we're doing a real disservice to them not giving them a huge shout out. What do you want to say to your graduating class?
I would like to say to my graduating class, just go out there and be who you are. And as I've always stated since seventh grade for you, just keep doing what you do and just always remember that you can do whatever you put your mind to, no matter what your circumstances are. Because we have some really great kids. And I said to my math elites, because I teach math, and we were in the math competition for Bridgeport they do each year. Last year we came in fourth, and we moved up like 15 spots from the previous year.
Congratulations.
This year we came in eighth out of I think it was 22 or 23 schools. So we have some really smart kids out there, so I know that they're going to do great things, and I just wish them all the best. Well, in high school,
you know, it's teachers like you, Mia, who really make the difference. It's true. I my son just finished up his first grade year and is moving into second grade. And I was just telling him this story yesterday on his last day, that my second grade teacher, and there are certain teachers that really stood out that I truly believe gave me the foundation of where I am today. Mm-hmm. It's our educators, and when they care and when they invest in us and then they see our potential, it really makes a difference. So I want to thank you for doing that for your students.
And you tell your son that, yes, teachers do make a difference. If it wasn't for Mines and Stanford and some that I saw when I was teaching, because they were still teaching, I would bump into them. And I just have to thank them. And they never forget about you. And that's the thing.
It's amazing.
It is.
You guys are like elephants. You never forget anything. It's wild.
When I was in college and my grandmother died, and so we were at the wake, two of my favorite teachers from third and fourth grade walked through the door. I swear to God.
I would start crying.
Miss Spanos, she's now retired in Stanford. And Miss White, who died a couple years ago. I turned around and my mother said, "Mia, your teachers are here." And I'm like, I was in college. And I said, they were that in tune. They read the paper and they knew who that woman was, even after all these years. I was in college at the time, not third or fourth grade. So that's why I know that teachers do matter and they do care about us. So
yeah, they really do.
I thank them.
And clearly you care, Mia. And I want to thank you so much for what you do. Congratulations to your eighth graders.
Shout out to my eighth graders. Thank you so much, Miss Melissa. And thank you to Miss Melissa in the morning and her lovely crew. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Mia.
Thank you.
Happy summer.
Yes, and
enjoy.
Happy summer to you. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you. You too. We are at stop number 7, the final stop of the WACC Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour. And one of the, I'd say, biggest stories in Bridgeport in the last 2 years has been a focus on education. Well, that's always been a huge story, but certainly it's been a rough go, I would say, in the last 2 years. A lot that's happened. A superintendent that was not, I'd say, well-liked by most of the district. Then, you know, stepping down in late 2024. We now have an interim superintendent. In the midst of that happening, we found out that there was a more than $30 million deficit going into next school year. So in the mix, you've got students who are impacted by this, but also the teachers. And so we wanted to get perspective from teachers and educators in the district. And so I want to thank Jeff Morrissey, who is here, who is the president of the BEA, the Bridgeport Education Association. And we welcome to the show Mykia Stovall, who is an elementary school teacher in the district. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
It's great to have you both here. And we can certainly dive into some of the nitty gritty and where we're at. And Jeff, I'm going to give you some of those hard questions. I'm definitely going to dive into that with you. I know you can handle it.
I'll do my best.
All right, you're great. And it's so nice to finally meet you in person, because Jeff has been one of the, I'd say, instrumental people who I've been able to connect with and really help navigate and help me to understand all the ins and outs of Bridgeport. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
You've been great with that. Mykia, I want to start with you and ask you about your education journey, what brought you to Bridgeport and what it's like.
Well, Bridgeport is home for me. So I'm a native of the city. I went through the public education system here from kindergarten until 12th grade. And I actually transferred out in 12th grade and I graduated from West Haven High. So I also have those two perspectives, and I'm able to see some of the inequalities in education in our system compared to others across the state. But yeah, this is home. So that's what brought me here. And I just wanted to give back to the students in my city. They deserve great educators, and they deserve a great education. And so really, that's why I'm here.
I'm obsessed with your voice. I think you have the best reading voice ever. I'm jealous. I want it. It's so nice. It's so soothing. Do you know, what do you love most about, especially teaching elementary? It's such a nurturing and just a really wondrous age, I think.
I think that's what I love most about it. And if you get kids when they're young, you can inspire them to just believe in themselves and be able to accomplish anything. Like, they're at the developmental age where they're building skills, yes, academically, but they're also building their personalities. And so really, I just get to invest in them, invest in their personalities, invest in the projections of their future. And that's what I love about it, to be able to encourage them that they can do anything that they want, no matter where they're from, no matter their circumstances, they have the ability to accomplish anything.
That's amazing. And we heard very similar testimony from Mia, who's a middle school teacher in the district. Jeff, one of the things that I had the opportunity to do, and a lot of that was thanks to the CEA and helping me to get connected to more teachers in the district in late 2024. I got to do a roundtable discussion with more than 20 educators, special educators, K through 12, all of that. And I got such incredible perspective in the sense that, you know, whether it was the leadership at the time or just in general, one of the biggest takeaways for teachers and why it's been hard over a long time is the conditions I'm told a lot about, and certainly leadership and needing that partnership, the Board of Education, things like that. Where are we at? You know, we're ending the 2025 or the 24-25 school year. We're only a few months away before we start a new school year with, unfortunately, this deficit. Where are we at in Bridgeport?
I think we're at a place. I mean, we certainly have been through a tempest this year, to put it mildly. We are in a much better place now. We are in a much better place as far as collaboration, communication, the current administration, listening to teachers. We've had a series of roundtables at the BEA office with the interim superintendent.
Yeah, what do you think of Dr. Avery?
I am very comfortable with him right now in the position. I really am. He has been transparent, and he has been forthcoming. In fact, we're meeting today at 11 a.m. For our labor management meeting. So he has been very forthcoming, like I said, transparent, and it's a nice change of pace.
Mm.
I think in hindsight, when you look at what had occurred previously, you know, it certainly wasn't good. It was there was a lot of anxiety due to some of the impetuous sort of knee-jerk type decisions without collaboration, without any input from the teachers or the union. But at this point, I think what we really need to do is look at that, look forward, maybe take it as a learning experience. And we just, you know, we're Bridgeport Public Schools. We just need to be there for the students, and we need to be there for the teachers. You know, as their union president, you know, I did walk into, like I said, quite the storm.
When did you become union president?
This is my second year.
Oh, wow. So you've been in the trenches the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time.
Yeah.
I just, you know, baptism by fire.
Yeah,
I
mean, clearly.
It was really like that. I've been a teacher here.
Welcome to the job. Here you go.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah, it was, it's been difficult, but it's also been rewarding, and it's been, you know, it's just been a wonderful experience to watch our members and how they organized and how they got together. And teachers, for the most part, they pretty much will go with the flow. Mm-hmm. But what had occurred was such a difficult, and I would say like an acute situation where it was almost like the perfect storm, and we were like, that's enough.
Yeah.
The CEA,
right, it came to a head. It just had
really
to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, it really came to a head. The CEA was wonderful. They were very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
They always have been. And they always, they love Bridgeport. They love the BEA. And it's, it's been a ride.
Yeah.
It certainly has.
It definitely has. And so, again, we have Jeff Morrissey here, who is the president of the BEA, the Bridgeport Education Association. And Mykia is here, who is an elementary school teacher. Do you feel a difference from the last, I know we're in an interim superintendent situation right now, but do you feel a difference from the former, you know, administrative leader to where we are today, Mykia? Or do you feel like there's still a lot of unknowns and we need to still get settled?
There are still a lot of unknowns in Bridgeport. There's always unknowns in Bridgeport, but the morale of the staff has definitely improved in the
buildings. I love
to hear
that.
There is definitely less anxiety, even despite all the financial things that are going on. People just are calmer now than they were at the beginning of the school year. I'm working in my building as a union leader. The beginning of the school year was definitely an interesting time.
I would think so.
Compared to any other year I've been here. But yes, people are calm now. We are able to just think about the future. And they're definitely more excited. Like, there was a dread at the beginning of the school year about being in school. That is not there anymore.
Oh, I love to hear that. I love to hear. This is why I love this perspective. Oh, I know. Here, let me see. There you go. I know. Headphones, I tell you. Thankfully, you don't have to wear headphones when you're in the classroom, right, Mikey? At least we got that going on. It's really cool, though. I just found out that Mikey teaches at the same school as my cousin. That is such a small world. Yes. I love it. Yes. My cousin's been in the district for over 10 years, and she loves it. I love you, Jen, if you're listening. Yeah, I don't know if she is. She's so funny. She's amazing. So it's so great to have you both here. Jeff is here as well, who is the BEA president. And how are you? You know, we just ended the last segment. You were talking about how there's a little bit more calm than where we started at the beginning of the year. How are we feeling going into next year, though?
I think going into next year, I'm feeling optimistic. I hope that we're able to secure more funding for our district, for our students, for education. You know, we really are at the wit's end of what we can cut in Bridgeport. And I would say I grew up here, so I remember having home economic classes and having shop and having band and music, all those things that a lot of our students do no longer get to experience. And at this point, we are bear strapped for staff. Mm-hmm. So we really need more funding just to have for our students to be able to have a more equitable education.
And I mean, and Jeff, I know that we just came out of a legislative session that's ended. I do know that there was, you know, some money, if you will, being put back into public education, but even at the local level, I think there was a little more put into the budget, but still not where we needed it to be. So I guess what would be your message, certainly going into next year? Off the pedal. I mean, it was good that we got more funding than what Mayor Ganim had initially, I think, put forward for education spending. But, you know, what would be your message going into the 2025-26 year?
I mean, I agree with you. We can never, in any situation, really, with public education, take our foot off the pedal. I think it's something that we need to think about and strategize for next year. You know, for our students and for the district at large, I really, you know, I am happy that there was a little bit more coming our way. You know, it's certainly not going to be a quick fix, and this is going to be going on for quite some time. We did lose some staff. There were some excess, positions. So we were able to work with human resources and try to land people in other openings. So we've been working on that for the last 3 or 4 weeks with meeting with teachers. The unfortunate part that really was, devastating was losing the librarians
in
the district.
How does that work? I thought that was really... So every single librarian, it sounds like.
Yeah, they
So
were,
how do those operate now?
You know, that's a really good question.
I'm looking at Mikey's face, and she's shaking her head.
It's a really good question.
Right?
You know, I know our librarians at the elementary schools, they actually teach, you know.
Right. So that's why I was going to say my son's school, it's in Milford, but those librarians, I was just going to say, were instructors. So that is the same model in Bridgeport.
Yeah, they're instructors, and, I just think it was a position, it's sad to lose any positions. We were able to, meet with each one of them. Mm. On the positive side, some of our librarians were certified in other things, not just library media. So we were able to find them other positions. We also offered a few of our programs within the district. We have a special education cohort where they can go over and teach special education.
Oh, that's good.
So,
is that something now that the teachers have to pick up that curriculum because there are no librarians?
You know, again, that's something that we're going to have to, you know, maybe I should bring that up today when I meet with Dr. Avery. Yeah,
ask Dr. Avery that. No, ask Dr. Avery, because I'm supposed to have him back on the show. I did say, you know, it's the end of the year, so I understand how busy the superintendent is. I totally get that. But ask him, because I definitely want to have him back on and talk about it. And he's been very open on the show, very transparent, as you mentioned, Jeff. But yeah, when I heard about the cuts of that, I was wondering, you know, so who picks that up? And I would think that curriculum has to be figured out in the next 2 months. I want to make sure that I thank formally Jeff Morrissey, who again is the BEA president. Thank you so much for your perspective. Definitely let me know how your meeting goes with Dr. Avery today. And Mykia, thank you so much. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your year, and thank you for sharing your perspective on the show today.
Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for having us.